VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It is Saturday morning. It is fantastically beautiful outside. Everybody's got their dogs running around down at the dog park on Salisbury for the Bark for Life, the thing is on this morning, right now. If anybody's headed out there and you're having a good time, pick up the phone and call us at 222-TALK or 222-8255, and then just rally all the dogs and make them bark, and then everybody can hear it. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, let's go back to why we're here, because we're not there. We're here.
Well, that would be bad if we were there.
That would be bad if we were there. Anyway, this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here live and in color, as always, on this glorious day. And I would say that if it were raining cats and dogs, if I might, or sleeting sideways, or whatever, I would still say that because I can't get the smile off my face.
We all know why that is.
All the things for all the years that people worried about. Oh, martial law, won't be an election. They're going to steal this. They're going to do that. Something's going to go wrong. We all know it. We just know it. We feel it coming. And I kept saying, no, the process is the process, and it will work as always. I said it the way that I could most sound sincere while I was worrying deep down inside that maybe I wasn't right. But it happened. We have a new president. We have a new outlook. And a lot of that is going to be reflected in things I talk about in the market today and the business cycle and that sort of thing. So I believe that we're on the cusp of something quite good in the absence of any unforeseen terrible calamity. And, of course, you live every day of your life in that possibility, so I don't expect anything like that. So we'll see what the new attitude brings out in people. Anyway, welcome back to our regulars. If you are listening again and you make it a habit, thank you so much. You're the reason we're here. Tell your friends, and if you're driving by or going out to the dog park or driving through town and flipping around the radio and you hear us, stick around for the hour if you can. We're going to talk about a lot of interesting things that we want to talk about, unless and until, of course, you might give us a call. And then we'll talk about what you want to talk about. Callers, as always, will go to the head of the line. And we have some inaugural trivia today and just all kinds of fun little things to do on a day when the country and your hosts are feeling quite exceptionally good about things. Now, the market did not reflect that this week. I like to come up, loyal listeners will know, I like to come up with a single word, if I can, to describe the market. And I came up with it this morning. I called it tentative. I think the whole week was tentative. You know how many threats of violence and ugliness and so on there have been out there. And, of course, there are the few, the usual, the predictable idiots out there that tried to turn it into something, and they're going to try again today. But they're going to fail because, let's face it, we got the blue lines, whether they came in on Harley's horses or black and whites. They're going to be all over the place keeping peace, and things will be, I suspect, just fine. The transition to a more sane society has already begun. More of it will happen today, and a lot more will happen on Monday, I'm sure. I'm just hoping that all the people out there take a deep breath, relax, sit back, and let's see what happens to this wonderful country that's been held back for just about long enough financially and in other ways. It can only benefit you in the long run if you're like us, saving for retirement and trying to do the right thing at the right time. So stick around and see. All right, tentative market this week.
Yeah, pretty much almost no movement in the markets this week. I mean, there was a little bit, but the net effect was pretty close to zero. The Dow ended up with 60 points off of where it started the week, posting a decline of 0.3%. The NASDAQ posted the same percentage drop, and the S&P posted a drop of just 0.1%, dropping 3.3 points. For the year, the Dow has a narrow gain of 0.3%, while the S&P has a little bit larger gain of 1.5%, and the NASDAQ is pretty much the clear leader, up more than 3.2% in the last 3 weeks. So not a bad year if you're invested in the NASDAQ.
Nope.
After a whole lot of threats and talk about disrupting the Trump inauguration, it went off with pretty much without a hitch. There were some idiots who looted a Starbucks in D.C. and some violent protesters who were arrested. But for the most part, it was just a small group of morons. Everyone else was peaceful in their protests, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's their constitutional right. So more or less after this week, I suspect they'll go back to their more nonviolent protests, like protesting on Facebook. So under President Obama, stocks had a pretty good run, increasing by 148%. However, there's a large difference between sector performance. The largest gainer was consumer discretionary, which gained 336.8%.
That's because the rich got richer and the poor got poorer.
Well, partly. I think also it's a category that gets hurt the most during a recession.
That's
so when he took office, we were in the Great Recession, and therefore when things bounce back, consumer discretionary is where people spend their discretionary income, so that makes sense. The second two biggest gainers were technology and financials at 284% and 253%. Technology is an area that has seen massive changes in R&D in the last 8 years. For instance, 8 years ago, in January of 2009, when Obama took office, the iPhone 3GS had not even been released yet. It came out that summer. So look where we are today versus back then. And for those of you that don't know, I think iPhone skipped the iPhone 2 and went straight to the 3. So that's really only about a generation and a half off of the original iPhone.
Moore's Law.
On the other side, just three sectors gained less than 100% during Obama's tenure: energy, utilities, and telecom services. Energy and utilities are not surprising, but I found telecom services to be a little surprising. Apparently, all the advances in phone technology had not produced better profits for the telecom industry. Kind of strange. You would think
I read it too, and I shook my head a bit.
You would think selling $800 iPhones, they would make some money, but I don't know. Maybe most of that goes to Apple. The two best performing stocks are of the Obama era were Ulta Salon and Netflix, up 4,380% and 3,148% respectively.
So you want to look good while you're escaping reality, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's important to look good on your couch. The worst performers were First Solar and Transocean, losing 75% and 67.5% respectively. Since the Trump election, the best performing sector has been financials, which has rallied about 15%, and the worst has been utilities, which is down 1.1%. The best stock has been Transocean, up 53.2%, and the worst has been Macy's, down 22.2%.
Mm-hmm. Death by Amazon.
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with the political climate.
Nope.
The Transocean one, though, interestingly, that might be a bet on the Trump presidency, mm-hmm. being as it was one of the worst performers under Obama.
That sector is about to get a little boost, I think.
Earnings season is rolling along with 33 more companies reporting this week. So far, it looks like we will continue the recent trend of about 63% of companies beating on earnings, but a much lower beat rate on sales. We've got to get those sales back.
Well, that's what this is all about. Bringing jobs back to the country creates consumers. Consumers, by definition, buy things. When you buy things, companies produce those things, that produces revenues. You can make those profits go up, what they call bad profits, that's the earnings per share, by buying back your own shares, which of course is rampant. There have been tens of billions of dollars put back into that over the last few years, actually. But where you really need to expand, if the true economy and the true earnings are going to grow, you have to increase your top line. And I think if we save a bunch of jobs, create a bunch of jobs, you're going to find an environment where sales are actually growing. All right, don't go anywhere. We will be right back with the trivia and everything else. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And today's trivia question has to do with inaugurations, and it is once again brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. Give Ken a call, and guess who you'll talk to? Most likely, Ken Bales. And yes, we do use them. I would never, ever promote anything on the show that I wasn't intimately familiar with, and they are wonderful. All right, how many presidential inaugurations have there been in the history of the USA? That bumped up one yesterday. So would have had a different answer. I wrote it on Thursday, and it had a different answer than when I came in here, well, which only happens about every few years. You know.
Glad you counted that one.
Yeah, I did, actually. I had to make real sure. So give us a call, 222-8255 or 222-TALK, area code 904, and we'll discuss that. Kind of following up on something we did last week, we were talking a little bit about who we are during the daytime and during the week, because the show is growing so fast and a lot of new people are coming in, and a lot of people are not familiar with our type of firm or the way we do business or exactly what we do. So first off, if you're interested in it, the best way to find out, of course, is to listen to the show, but the other great way to find out is to come in and see us. And Adam will tell you all the ways that you can contact our company and how easy it is to get there and how inexpensive it is to come and see us and all that. And then I'll tell you a little bit more about why we do what we do the way we do it.
All right. Well, our company name is Van Wee Financial. We're located out at the beach. We're right off of Butler Boulevard. It's very easy to get to from all points in the city. In fact, we had a couple people in from the West Side and Mandarin this week. So, mm-hmm. Obviously, we're not just beach people. Well, we are, but our clients are not.
Well, the city really has done a remarkable job in making passage from other parts of the city out to Jack's Beach a lot nicer.
Yeah, and it's only getting better too with 9B getting near to completion and all sorts of good stuff going on. Actually, they're 295 is getting the high-speed lanes, and it's a lot of stuff going on right now.
Yeah, and any of you who remember the J. Turner Butler years and years
when it was a
of
toll
construction.
Oh, yeah, we
go back far enough, it was. In fact, I remember going out to the beach once in a while on Butler on the toll road saying, what's going on? There must be a celebration at the beach. I passed three cars.
Yeah, not so much anymore. Maybe at 3 a.m.
Those days are so gone, people. You get on and you look around and admire the scenery for a minute, and boom, you're at the beach.
Definitely. So if you ever want to call us, our number is 904-685-1505, and I will answer the phone personally, so you're never going to have to deal with an automated attendant or anything like that. But an even easier way to reach us is online, vanweefinancial.com. You can book a meeting with us right from our website. It will show you our available slots, and that initial meeting will never cost you a penny. That first hour is always free, and it's called a suitability. And what we do is sit down with you and kind of determine what your financial need is or needs are and determine if there's a mutual interest in doing business together. If not, no big deal. We will walk away. We will never call you again. And you will probably walk away knowing a little bit more than when you came into our office. And so it's a good way to go. We should get online. If you're one of your financial New Year's resolutions was to get your finances in order, come see us. We also have a lot of other interesting stuff on our website, including a blog made up of a bunch of topics we talk about on the radio and a bunch that we don't. So check that. We update it at least twice a week. We also post radio shows in the form of a podcast. So if you miss a week, go to our website. You can download and listen to our radio shows right from our website.
Commercial free.
Exactly. And we're also on Facebook at facebook.com, Van Wee Financial, and Twitter at Van Wee Financial. And lastly, if you want to email us, it's just info@vanweefinancial.com.
All right. The nature of our business, we're called a registered investment advisory. And what that means is that we are allowed to do business by one of the two regulatory authorities. In our case, because we're not huge, we're here. There aren't too many of us out there. We are state registered. The really big ones are federally registered. So either way, we're a highly regulated business, and it's very important the nature of our business. What this world is moving to, starting especially in April, is a standard of dealing with clients called fiduciary care. And I'm going to describe a little of that today, among other things. But it is a simple concept, and it's incredible to me how little of the world actually has subscribed to that theory yet. It's being, implemented, I guess, by the government, which has put Adam and me in a position we're very seldom in. On this issue, and I'm very careful to say, on this very specific issue, we agree with Barack Obama and Elizabeth Warren.
It is true.
They are the ones that are promoting the fiduciary standard for people who deal with their customers and clients. Why wouldn't you? The fiduciary standard means two things. You have a loyalty and a standard of care to the people who come and see you. The loyalty means you have to put their interests ahead of your own. And after the 15 years or so that I've been in this business, and then before that as a consumer of services, it would never occur to me to do it any other way or to want anybody who doesn't subscribe to it. Why wouldn't the client be more important than you are? I have also found, if I may use the old adage, that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. We have become successful because of the way we do business. It makes sense to me. The second component of care means that you have to select items that you're going to suggest to your clients that will do more than just satisfy some basic need. They're actually supposed to be the best things you can find for your client, not for you. A lot of people out there are doing business on a commission level, and those commissions vary. A lot of companies have proprietary products that they'll sell you because they get a bigger commission than perhaps some other company with a very similar product, but not as much commission on it. So this standard is going to be implemented across a lot of different platforms. Right now, if you have a stockbroker, ask him or her if he or she is a fiduciary, and I bet you're going to hear, well, no.
But I'd still put your interests, but that's, but there's nothing guaranteeing that.
No, and if there isn't a resounding yes on that, you might wind up one of these people. In this little article I have in my hands, Morgan Stanley and Citigroup were recently fined for billing overcharges on their fees, and they called them snafus. Now, I'm sorry, but this standard of care, Adam and I, when we do our billing quarterly, we audit every single number in that thing and make darn sure we're doing it right. You cannot tell me that Citigroup and Morgan Stanley and Smith Barney, you cannot tell me that they are not capable of that. And I don't really believe in much oversight. That's not to make a direct accusation, but they are at least careless, or this wouldn't have happened. So Morgan Stanley Smith Barney paid $13 million to settle charges that it overbilled its fee-based clients. Now, that's right out of this text. What's the operative term in there? Fee-based. Fee-based is a term that is like putting a smoke screen in front of the people that come in your door. It's intended to mislead you into thinking that you're dealing with someone who does business like we do. It's not. You're dealing with people in the commission world who are wrapping their various commissions and payments into a standard that they call fee-based. And I, if it is the last thing I do, I'm going to just bring it up until everybody understands that there is a big difference and it matters. Anyway, from 22 to 2016, Morgan Stanley overcharged about 149,000 clients by more than $16 million. 149,000. That's a lot of errors.
That is a lot of errors. And $16 million is, in the great scheme of things, not a big number. But when,
not for them.
When it hits your own pocketbook, even a little percentage of that is a big number.
Yep. Yeah, let's see. The joint venture fees carried over from 2009, another $9.4 million in excess fees, and another $6.7 between 2002 and 16 on legacy errors. You read this stuff, and it just gives me a sinking feeling when I read these. Why, after all this time, why, knowing that you're in a highly regulated business, would you allow this to happen? In the Citigroup case, New York regulators said Smith Barney overcharged about 47,000 customers, more than 22.5 million on its, ready for this, fund wrap program. What is a fund wrap program? It's a fee-based thing. It's exactly the same smokescreen I was just talking about. Fee only. That's what a true registered investment advisor with CFP credentials means, and that's what we are. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that after the break, too. But Citigroup has returned $22.5 million. And the comment from the spokesperson from Citigroup was,
whoops,
we're pleased to have the matter resolved. Isn't that special? I'll bet they are pleased to have it resolved.
Yeah, especially without any huge fines, is what he's saying.
Yeah, for now, it's resolved. So you read these stories, people, and you understand that there's an easy way to avoid it. Now, I'm going to get into some of the other pitfalls a little later, and Adam's going to talk to you about wasting money, and we just got all kinds of things to do. Lines are open, 222-8255. That's 222-TALK. How many presidential inaugurations have we had in the history of this company? That's the trivia question. And anything you want to talk about, you just pick up the phone and give us a call. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have this segment sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Because things grow in the strangest months down here, don't they?
And they've been growing quickly recently.
It is absolutely phenomenal to look out your window and see green grass 6-7 inches high. Call Troy. He can fix it. 662-9794. Good morning, Wendy.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. Beautiful day in St. Augustine.
Oh, it's a wonderful day anywhere, I think. But
yes, definitely. Yes, very exciting. Very exciting period now.
Yep. So, what can we help you with?
Well, it's been a very, very hard. I'm retired, and the past 8 years and more, I have depended on dividends, and now that healthy dividends, MLPs and so forth. And there's just nothing out there that my income has been reduced substantially because of that. And I wondered what your opinion or evaluation is of MLP, oil, gas, or where should I look for dividends?
What is our opinion of MLPs and where else should she look for dividends? Is that right, Wendy?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. MLPs, I think
that's now, Master Limited Partnerships for anybody listening who's not familiar with them.
Correct, and they deal mostly with oil and gas and exploration and that type of thing. And they have been a pretty good investment over the past year, but prior to that, the last couple of years before that, they really took a nosedive. So,
yes, it reduced my income substantially, and so I've been just waiting to see where I could go.
So you own them for more than a year, I take it?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I would roll over, whatever.
Yeah.
And, a very stable income. Yes, they've improved a little, but as far as, the refineries and the shipping and that sort of thing, they've taken such a terrible hit.
They have on price, but a lot of them maintain their dividends. Mm-hmm. Some of them did cut, but if you owned I don't know if you owned them outright or you owned an ETF that held a bunch of them, that's a good way to diversify the risk.
Yeah, look at the ETF of those. No, I hold them individually.
Okay. There are several that we like to use, and they pay really healthy dividends. I mean, some of them are over 10%. But then you are carrying quite a lot of risk with those, so I wouldn't recommend doing a big portion of your portfolio in MLPs. Right. You would have gotten really hurt in 2015. Yeah. But there are other ways to get healthy dividends that that will diversify your risk. You can look at REITs. That's, of course, those are going to be pretty volatile in a rising interest rate market.
Again, real estate investment trusts. But if you hold them longer term and they're paying out a steady dividend, the actual price day to day does not really impact you that much.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And it's all, if you're just holding them for the income, then you have to kind of turn a blind eye to the price of the underlying security.
We were looking up at a preferred stock ETF this week, too. There are also business development corporations paying really good dividends.
That's true. And then also outside of that, you can look at, these won't pay nearly as well, but you can look at blue chip companies that pay good dividends, like the AT&Ts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
Verizon in particular.
Yep.
Yeah. And so that's not the kind of dividend that I'm looking for. More 10% in 5 years.
I understand. It's tough to get a good return these days, though, without taking a tremendous amount of risk. And it sounds like you might be okay with that risk, but still, even within that group of really high paying types of assets, you need to diversify what you hold. So that's the most important thing.
I mean, of a portfolio, would you say 10%, 25%?
For any one security or for that group of assets? Yeah, I would. I mean, it depends on your risk tolerance, but I definitely wouldn't go over 25%.
Okay.
Then look for the alternatives that might not pay quite as much, but they will at least diversify your market risk, which is what we're talking about now more than income risk.
Right. Well, as you see, the Dow is so high, and it should have a pullback at some point, which I'm waiting for.
So, a lot of people were, or still are.
Yeah, there are a lot of people holding their breath out there. They're turning mighty blue.
I know. I wish I had stepped in after Brexit,
Those opportunities do not come along very often.
They don't. And when they do, you have to recognize them and pounce on them. And it's so nerve-wracking to get in when things are plummeting. But that's what you have to do.
Take your mind back to 1 year ago right now, when the market was in free fall that lasted about another 3 weeks. There were some opportunities right in that little period of time, too. But it's hard to take advantage of an opportunity.
Yes, I remember listening to you then, and hold on.
And since then, the market, actually all three indexes are up over 20% since February 11th of last year. So,
but it's hard. We've said it over and over. It's difficult for people like us to tell people to do the right thing and not sound too worried about it.
Exactly. So my anticipating a pullback is kind of the wishful thinking.
Well, if you're patient enough, we will get one, because 10% corrections happen on average once a year. It just might be a couple of years before you get one, and then you might get two or three in a year, but they average about once a year. So it'll come.
Okay. Thank you for your advice, both of you. I very much appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Anytime, do you want to take a shot at the trivia question?
Sure.
How many presidential inaugurations have there been in history of the USA?
Inauguration? 48.
More than that.
More than that?
Yep.
Oh.
Stick around. You'll catch the answer before the end of the show.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
That was a fascinating question to me.
It is, because it is on the front of every investor's mind right now. Yep. Where can I get some yield without taking a lot of risk? And the answer is, unfortunately, you cannot.
The master limited partnerships are risky. They're in the energy business, as you said. And if you believe, as I do, that the energy business is going to be a great benefactor, or the administration will be a benefactor to the energy business or whatever, I think the future of the energy business in this country is very strong right now and in many different sectors. In fact, Oceaneering being the best stock, what they do is they're in the offshore oil business. The pipeline business should be good. The liquefied natural gas business should be good. I think you're going to see so much coal. There's an index for coal. I haven't checked out the performance lately. It's KOL if anybody's interested in looking it up. What's going to happen in Appalachia? You're going to see people go back to work.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, we have been converting a lot of the places that used to use coal into other forms of energy. So,
but the good news is that we can export that coal too.
That's
true. We are blessed in this country with a very high quality coal. The anthracite coals are very big in the mountains, and there are a lot of people, for instance, in China, they're opening up a coal fired utility plant on average about once a week. So who else is going to be beneficiary of that? Shipping companies, transports like CSX that runs east and west down to the coast. There's so many ways. If you think about the difference in last Saturday's program and this Saturday's program, the attitude of the government, the nature of the laws, the things are going to get repealed. I think you're going to see opportunities come up. Not to say you want to jump a whole bunch into them, but take a good look at all those things and see some of them pay fairly substantial dividends. So if you're an income investor and you've got the time to wait, diversify into some of these other things that are paying pretty well. I do think the real estate industry is going to be very, very bullish for a while also, both for individual and for corporate stuff. And partly because Trump's emphasis throughout his life has been the real estate business. He knows what it takes to make it good. So think, diversify, and if you have any questions, give us a call at the show or get hold of us through the website or whatever. But we have another segment coming up right after the break. We're going to talk about just all kinds of things that you should be wary of and some things that might be a lot of fun. So don't go anywhere. Thanks for listening. We will be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we still have the trivia question out there. How many presidential inaugurations have there been in U.S. history? That number grew a little bit yesterday. All right. Adam thinks that all of you are wasting some money.
And it's a fact. Everyone in America wastes some money.
He's right. We're going to talk about that in one sec. But first, good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
How are
Great
you?
Great program.
Oh,
very good.
Thank you so much. What's up?
I have the, I believe I have the trivia answer. I believe President Trump delivered a beautiful speech yesterday and was maybe the 58th.
You are exactly right. So they
prepare to turn left in half a mile.
First one I
watch. Somebody's on the road.
That, yeah, your Garmin is talking back to us. That is the right answer. There have been 45 actual people and 58 actual ceremonies as people came into office due to deaths or re-elections or anything like that. So if you don't mind, we'll put you on hold and we'll let Alan get your name and number and we'll send you a little something from Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm.
Thank you much.
Unless, of course, you have some other financial questions you would like to ask.
I don't currently.
All right. Well, you know our website after listening to us. So thanks so much. You have a real good day. I'm going to put you on hold and we'll take care of it. All 58 right. times that has happened. It was 57 on Thursday when I wrote the question. I scratched it out and added one yesterday. And here we are at 58.
Okay.
How about that? Yeah. Oh, by the way, sub question. How many people have ever held the offices of vice president and president but were never elected by the Electoral College?
It's a good question.
That's a good inauguration question. All he right. was inaugurated, though.
Okay.
But he was not
but
elected,
he was not elected
through
right.
the Electoral College process.
Right.
Both they.
Okay. So there are ways that you waste money and you don't even realize it. And they are in all aspects of your life. One of them being your car. Your car is basically a big drain of your money. Second only to maybe a boat, but the car most people own, the boat, a few people own. The first one is underinflated tires. Did you know that not keeping your tires inflated to the proper PSI can cost you a ton of money in lost miles per gallon? According to promechanics.com, a 1 PSI drop in your tires can affect your miles per gallon by as much as 0.4%. That means a 5 PSI drop in tire pressure will lead to a 2% drop in miles per gallon. That doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're driving 12 or 15,000 miles a year, it really adds up. Also, having the dealer do small repairs. The average hourly rate for an auto mechanic can run between $70 and $100 per hour, and many car repairs are just a simple swap-in, swap-out part replacement. Not to mention the markup that the dealer will also put on that part that you can buy online for a whole lot cheaper.
You had a little experience on that recently, I hear.
I feel like it's every week something breaks. Yeah. If you're all mechanically inclined, find out how to do a basic repair and maintenance on your car. YouTube has videos to show you how to do most things these days, including most car repairs. Your wallet will thank you, and you, especially if you feel comfortable working on your car.
I just dropped mine at your house.
Well, unfortunately, the whole family's starting to look at it like that.
Yeah. Well, what, you need a second job?
I don't. Car insurance. Have you ever noticed that car insurance seems to be really cheap when it's quoted to you, but then every year it seems like it goes up just a little bit until one year you realize you're paying a lot more than you were?
I categorically disagree.
Why is that?
It went up a lot.
Well, and then that happens. You get the one big rate hike that makes you think.
Yep.
And so once annually, just shop your car insurance. It's very simple. It can take about 15 minutes. It can save you hundreds of dollars per year. So just call an independent auto insurance person and say, hey, I want to look at cheaper auto rates. What have you got? And tell them what you have, and they can give you quotes.
And especially if you're a good driver.
Exactly. The last one is trading your car in too often. Sometimes I don't think people realize how much it costs to actually trade a car in. There are dealer fees, sales tax, miscellaneous fees, and not to mention the dreaded depreciation as soon as you drive a car off the lot. Most cars these days are meant to be driven over 100,000 miles. And, well, you may love cars, but at the end of the day, in 2017, is it really going to get you there any different than a 2013 model? No. At the end of the day, it's just a car to get you from one place to another.
They all look alike.
And it'll cost you a lot more, even with better miles per gallon. You can't make up that difference you pay in sales tax at 7% in Duval County without driving a ton of miles. So really take a look at that before you make your next car purchase decision.
When I was young, you could tell a 54 from a 55, from a 56, from a 57, from a 58. They changed them all the time. Now a body style can last through several years of a manufacturer where it's literally difficult to tell what your car you're looking at.
Yeah, they don't make major changes, but every 5 years or so, they'll make minor tweaks. But
tooling costs to redo a body style are astronomical. And in fact, by not changing it that much, a lot of cars get better every year because they get a little bit snazzier in their production methods and the tolerances are closer and all that stuff. Not to mention just pure technological changes that always accrue to the buyer.
Yeah.
Heck, a 100,000-mile car now. And my wife's car's 18 years old and 120 something or something like that. And it's practically perfect.
Yep. And, people always think about buying cars on what you make in a payment. But that's not the actual cost of the car. It's got nothing to do with it. It costs you so much more than what you put into the payment.
Yeah. The payment is zero if you pay cash for it. So it's unrelated.
Exactly.
Well, there are a lot of ways to lose money. And that was a few of them. But here's one you really don't want to talk about. In 2015, IRS blocked 1.4 million fraudulent tax returns that would have amounted to $8.7 billion in stolen tax returns. That is a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
Identity theft and tax fraud are so rampant that IRS is on a mission to do an information campaign to try to teach people how to do a better job of protecting their own stuff. Well, according to the IRS, people continue to fall prey to clever cyber criminals. Well, obviously they do. They trick you into giving out your Social Security. Don't do it. When IRS, quote, calls you at home, it's not them.
Or on your cell phone, they don't call
you. They don't call you, and they will threaten you. In fact, I have a daughter who got a phone call like that and called me in a panic because they were so threatening to her that she was scared. And I told her, hang up, don't ever answer it, and ignore it because they don't call you. Why don't they call you? Because of this. Now, are they very good at protecting you? No. You have to be aggressive to get it done. One thing you can do is a service like LifeLock, which I've had for a long time. It's just a constant credit monitoring, and it's not like the guy who's in the bank hold up. Well, are you going to do something about it? No, I'm just a bank monitor. I just tell you when there's a robbery. There's a robbery. Remember that one?
But that won't necessarily protect you from a fraudulent tax claim.
Getting an alert that something's going on in your account that's unusual, like you will from LifeLock, will tell you right away you've probably been hacked, and then you get on it.
Right.
So I believe it's worth the money to do it. Phishing scams, and there's no F in that, people. It's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. Phishing scams are all over the place. Websites come and go, but they all try to lead you or trick you into revealing information that you know deep down inside you just shouldn't reveal. You shouldn't click on the links. If it looks bad, it is bad. False filings. And we've had this among our clientele where they do their actual tax returns and send them in, and IRS writes back and says, we already gave you your return. Somebody else filed ahead of them. There is a way to prevent this, and it's called a personal PIN number from IRS. Is it a pain? A little bit, yeah.
It's really not that bad.
It's not that bad. You get a little five-digit number. Every time you try to deal with IRS, they require that PIN number. It's free, and it's a level of protection far beyond anything like a LifeLock. IRS is very slow with these things, but you people happen to have gotten lucky because of where you live. IRS will automatically grant you a PIN number if you live in Florida or Georgia or Washington, D.C.
But you have to request it.
You have to request it. So you go on to IRS.gov and request a personal PIN number, and you can get it, and then you will be much better protected. There are some other things you can do, but I can't think of any one thing that is more likely to protect you from a real disaster on your taxes than to get that IRS PIN number. Oh, and by the way, why is it Florida, Georgia, and Washington, D.C.? Because that's where the fraud takes place, people. It's just that simple. Jerry Ford was never elected by the Electoral College. He served both as vice president taking over for Spiro Agnew and as president taking over for Richard Nixon. He's 1 in 45 that way. We'll see you next week. We'll have some more trivia questions, a lot more good information, your phone calls and everything. Enjoy this beautiful day and come back next week. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.